Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. One of the unfortunate aspects, unfortunate, I'm not sure how to say that, changes that can sometimes take place as people get older is a change in relationship status, right? For all kinds of reasons. And this idea of gray divorce, you know, getting divorced older, later in life, is a swelling or a growing population of people being impacted by this.
The growth rate of the people who are getting divorced is probably the highest in the gray divorce area than in any other demographic in this country. Now, here is the big problem. As a divorce financial analyst, I have done hundreds of cases for different demographic or age categories. The younger you are, with or without kids, the more time you have to financially recover from your circumstance.
Right.
Not the case always when it comes to gray divorce. Mm-hmm. And so let's have the conversation of why and what's going on in this area, because it's a growing trend. And we've got not only the anecdotal evidence that we see, but the empirical data as well. And that's why we have Marcus Sexta, founder, senior family lawyer, mediator at Crossroads Law, and coach my case. Marcus, welcome back on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, let's go right into it. Gray divorce. We just gave you a little bit of an intro on this, that it's growing, and you're in the field. Your team, the groups in Vancouver, Calgary, and are really getting in there, and they're seeing more of this. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are seeing more gray divorces coming through our office. We know now that across Canada, this is a segment that is seeing more divorces than other segments of the population. In fact, there's some research in the United States that suggests that gray divorces, while the rest of the population in terms of divorces have actually declined, gray divorces or divorces for people that are over 50 years old have actually doubled in the last 20 years. So this is a growing segment, and there may be a lot of reasons for that. One of the things that comes up quite often when we're talking to people who come in who are in their 50s or 60s or even 70s seeking a divorce is that they just don't feel like the stigma is there anymore. Like there was a stigma against divorce when they were growing up, and there was definitely a stigma against being divorced or getting a divorce while the children were in the house. But now that the children are grown and out of the house and society has changed in a lot of ways, they feel like, okay, this is the time to do it. I don't want to spend the rest of my life miserable, so I'm going to get divorced.
Marcus, when we hear the words gray divorce, a lot of times these are longer term marriages, longer term relationships. A lot of times there is a disconnect of inequality of income between both parties, generally speaking. And so there is a big shift. What happens here? Who has the biggest impact on them, financially speaking, first, when it comes to gray divorce? And why is it that way?
Well, who has the biggest impact financially is an interesting question. I would suggest that usually it's the children initially who have a large financial impact. And it may be something that people don't contemplate when they're thinking about a gray divorce. And gray divorce, from the definitions that exist, or it's usually divorces over the age of 50. Children can be a big motivation for the divorce. And when I say that is people stay together as long as the kids are in the house. And once they get out of the house, the couple may say, okay, well, now it's time, we can get a divorce. The kids were taken care of and now they're off on their own. They've left the nest, empty nesters. Let's just go our separate ways. But quite often what they're not considering at that point is any child support obligations that actually continue past the children being 18 or 19 and continue as long as the kids are in post-secondary education, because we have laws now in Alberta and across the Canada that say that kids who are over the age of 18 but continuing in full-time studies, they require child support as well. And that can be quite expensive if you have to pay for university tuition and residency costs for universities overseas or in different areas.
So Marcus, is it the responsibility to pay the former spouse the support, or to pay for the child's education and tuition costs if they're not living with one of the parents?
Yeah, so that's a good question. If a child is living with one of the parents while they're attending university, then the support definitely would flow to that parent, the child support. I'm not even getting into spousal yet, because that's a whole other huge factor. But the child support would flow to the parent where the child is living. If the child is living in residence, then sometimes that continues, but there is an option that the support could flow to the child directly. With respect to the university expenses, those would just be paid directly to the university or the institution. And hopefully in these cases, you have an RESP, because that would be the first hit against those university expenses. And hopefully you've got a kid who's got some bursaries and scholarships.
You are saying that spousal support is another big topic. When we see grade divorce, at least even in our investment practice, and we look at these agreements that come out of it, some of these divorce agreements state that support for spousal support is indefinite. And that kind of gives the four-letter words come up after I mentioned that when we have a conversation with a lot of our clients or people who want to know about this. So what does that really mean, and what's the real impact for spousal support when you're going through a grade divorce?
Well, spousal support and property division are going to be the biggest hits for sure when you're talking about a grade divorce. Spousal support for long-term relationships, you're looking at sharing 50-50 with respect to the net disposable incomes of the parties. So you basically pool the net disposable income together and then share that 50-50 with your spouse. So if you're in a situation where one person has always been the primary income earner, the other person perhaps has stayed home with the kids, that's a huge shift in incomes after you separate. And I should be clear as well that spousal support obligation starts upon separation. We know that sometimes it can take a while to get through the divorce process. The courts are very slow. We have a well-recorded and much publicized shortage of judges across this country. And so you can't even get into trial these days for a year or sometimes a couple of years if it's a lengthy and complicated matter. So the spousal support obligation can be a giant adjustment when you're talking about planning your ongoing expenses, because you're going to be splitting everything. Two houses, you're going to double your costs.
Marcus, let me just jump on that particular point. In your experience, and I'm not suggesting anybody stays together for financial reasons, there's obviously bigger issues going on, but what is the expectation? You know, in this world, if somebody's coming to you, they want to get a divorce, the average Canadian, what should their expectation be in retirement from a financial perspective? What impact is it going to have?
Well, it's going to have a massive impact. I mean, you were sharing expenses previously, sharing the food costs, sharing the vacation costs, sharing the cost for your home heating bill and perhaps your vehicle. Now, if you have two households, you're doubling the cost of everything. So it is a massive financial hit. And typically we see that it's more of a financial hit for the women in the situation, especially with long-term and traditional marriages and grade divorces, because there's more of that in that demographic. So there's just a massive financial hit. And what the courts do as a result, if it's a long-term relationship, is they want to, like I said, they want to equalize that net disposable income, and they're going to equalize all the assets. So really what we like to see when people come in is we like to see people who have perhaps a prenuptial agreement or a cohabitation agreement that can organize how these things are split up so that you're not spending a whole bunch of extra legal fees to get this done. And we also like to see people who come in who are looking for mediation services or collaborative divorce services. So again, they can bypass a lot of the lengthy processes and expensive legal fees and come up with a solution that's a little bit more creative than what a judge is going to give you. Because a judge, all they're going to do is interpret the legislation and the case law, and then they give you a decision. There's not a lot of extra room for creativity.
There's a lot of ways to handle a divorce. It's not just going in front of a judge. There's so many ways to solve this problem. If you're going through this, I suggest that you get legal advice for sure, even if you're doing it on your own, because Crossroads Law and Coach My Case can help you in both sides of that manner. If you want to get connected with them, Marcus, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can just reach us at our website. It's crossroadslaw.ca, coachmycase.com. Coach My Case is an alternative legal service that helps people who are self-representing in the legal system because they don't qualify for legal aid and they can't afford a lawyer to go to court and run a trial for them. We know that most people in Canada, they don't have, you know, $50,000 sitting around to spend on legal fees or more to go to a trial. And so a lot of people end up going in on their own. So what we do with Coach Mike Case is we provide coaching services in the background to help them get through the process.
Perfect, Marcus. Thank you for joining us today, Marcus. And we will be definitely talking about this topic going forward as well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right. Now, coming up after the break, fraud is hitting it. Now AI and fraud. Let's talk about that after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.